Good evening. Welcome to the porch here on Firefall Talk Radio on Spreaker.com. I was just sitting here listening to that intro, which I've been listening to for almost 6 years for the porch, but I've actually had it much longer than that. A friend of mine wrote that for me for a project that still hasn't happened yet. But little did he know he wasn't writing it for that project. He was writing it for the porch. And when I hear that music, no matter what's going on, no matter where I am at that moment, it pulls me into the temple. It pulls me into Solomon's porch. It pulls me into fellowship with you. And I'm blessed to be here, so I hope you are too. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting us, those of you that do. Broadcasting live, getting back to basics, taking a look at the Word of God from the perspective of the Book of Acts Church. That's the goal, is to see it how they saw it, to do it as they did it, to restore the priesthood of the believer and the world-shaking influence that they had, one person at a time. You know, they did thousands at a time. I'm happy with one at a time, and I'll talk about that a little bit more, but we're going to dig into Scripture. We've been talking about knowing Him, being known by Him, and tonight's session is called Invitation. And so you're going to have to see what that means as we go along. Hopefully you're listening on your Spreaker app. Take you right to it. The sound's much better on Spreaker.com. So we're good about that. We're still archiving on Blog Talk, which feeds into iTunes, which we still get hundreds of listeners on. So I'm probably going to have to leave that. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And that's not broke, so we're going to leave it alone. Praise reports and prayer request time. Oh, let me go back here. I'm actually, I don't want to say scripting. That's a production term. I'm actually writing and planning out the PowerPoints for new videos. And one or two of you have written and said, hey, would you cover this? Would you cover that? And I'm looking at doing short, self-contained videos that will be part of a bigger collection. So if you have something that you'd like me to cover in detail, go to onsolomonsport.org or firefalltalkradio.com. Use the contact button, supernaturalresponse.net. There's so many different ways to make sure I get the information. And let me know, be specific. If you have specific examples of what you'd like explained, do that. Praise report, prayer request. Well, I praise the Lord for my health. Now, you may say, but you still have that cough. So what? So what? Paul was short and had eye problems. David was short. Smith Wigglesworth, one of the most powerfully anointed men that we've ever known, had kidney stones. We live in a fallen world, and what glorifies that? Moses stuttered. We can't even forget about that. How do we glorify the Lord more? By being perfect and having everything in place, or by persevering and doing what He called us to do within the limitations of this world? So I have allergies, I have issues with my sinuses, but I keep going and I keep praising Him. That's a praise report, because I'm getting better every moment of every day. And when the Lord comes back and He gives me the glorified body, I'm good. I thank Him. I praise Him for inspiration. I praise Him for His calling on my life, His ministry that He allows me to work. I praise Him for my family. I praise Him for you and your friendship and your encouragement. And one of those came today. She hasn't given me permission to use this. I'm not going to mention her name, but I'm going to ask you to pray for her just by what I share with you. She said she listened to the teaching Known to Be Known, and she said it was exactly what the Lord had been speaking to her for a couple of months. She had drifted away, and she wasn't sharing her heart with Him on a daily basis, and she said, I know He misses me. So thank you for the awesome prayer at the end, and thank you for speaking from your heart. So just pray for his daughter. You don't need to know her name. Just pray that she'll quickly find herself in His presence, in His throne room, and all of that will be restored. Like I said, life gets in the way, and we have to overcome. So my prayer is for her. My prayer request is for all of the above. My wife will be having shoulder surgery next week, next Tuesday morning, so please keep her in prayer before and after. for a quickening in her recovery, a restoration to that shoulder and that arm, for the provision that we're going to need just in my life and ministry, for a new direction the Lord's taking me in to do that, a release back into the world, so to speak. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself because it's part of the teaching, but it's just the way I am. We need to get out to where the people need the Lord. We need to get out of the pews and get out of the homes and get off the internet. And we need to get out there and minister to the lost and the dying. We need to shine the light. What good is a lamp if you hide it under the bushel? What good is all that? I want to be about my Father's business, and I'm asking for the provision and the protection to do that. Pray for SRT. Each one of us is under attack in some way, shape, or form, some more than others. Since I'm the lead guy, I take the brunt of it. But keep us in your prayer, each member of the team. There's myself, there's my second, Larry, there's Joe, which you know from Sunday night on Reflections in the Dark, and there are my two sons, Jesse and Chris. Brian, I wouldn't pray for Tennessee. You can pray for Tennessee. I'm in Israel. My brain's going in 47 directions, and I can only drive 46 of them. Pray for Israel. Some reports are coming out, rumors that are very sound, so much so that the Israeli news is reporting it, that our wonderful president is joining with the UN to pressure Israel to split Jerusalem for the Palestinian solution. And he'll need to do that before the end of the year. So watch and pray, folks. Watch and pray. Now let's head to Tennessee. Make a left. Brian in Tennessee. Praise the Lord, he said, for the Lord's promises of his soon return, for the Lord's patience and mercy with us, and for the Lord's favor. Prayer request for healing miracles for my wife Deb, for his wife Cindy, for protection and healing for Deb's surgery, for lost family members and friends to be convicted by the Holy Spirit and come to the Lord while there is still time, for understanding and patience in these trying days, and for SRT's mission directive. Deb in Washington State, if you remember, she listens with her family, and she's doing a great job of sowing the word inside of them and preparing them for this fallen world and for the predators, natural and supernatural, that are out there. She prays the Lord for the ways. The Lord makes ways in the lives of all people to know him. His heart and arms are open to all. She says, thank you, Father, Lord, Holy Spirit. That's a praise report. Boy, is that a praise report. Prayer request that his own will reach out to him and that we will pull others into his loving arms. Boy, Deb, you'll see how much the Lord inspired you when you hear what this lesson is about. Stacy in Fort Mitchell, please keep praying for Ronald, Christina, Philip, Angel, and Bradley. She says, we're still praying for you and Deb, for your health, for your roof, for your ministry, and for your dogs. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Kate in Chester, PA, she says, praise God for his grace and patience with me. There's a theme going on here. Next Wednesday, she's having laparoscopic surgery, and she's going under general anesthesia, which always makes her nervous, which it should. But not to be afraid. Keep the faith. We'll be praying. Said, please pray for my protection while I am unconscious and for the healing after the surgery. And for, of course, no more endometriosis. That's what she's being operated on for. Stuart in South Africa sent an urgent prayer request for Christians in India. Reports are that within the next 24 hours, and he sent this yesterday, 200 churches were set to be burned. 16 families are there with missionary family members and have been targeted. 300 evangelists are in hiding, and there's a massive sweep hitting multiple towns that they're being set for execution come sunrise. 22 Christian missionaries are set for death in 24 hours by ISIS, and Islamic terrorists, I'm sorry, same thing, Afghan as well. Time to get serious in prayer against this. I don't know why we would have to remind you to do that, but folks, our brothers and sisters are dying. And they're not recanting. They're not saying no. to saying, I'd rather die than deny the Lord. And he warned us that it would be like this, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to come to America. So we pray for them. We pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray for his mercy and his protection. We pray for his will to be done and for him to be glorified. So, Father, we just come to you now in the name of Yeshua, the name above all names. We pray that you would quicken our mortal bodies and heal us of what needs to be healed, restore what needs to be restored, including relationships. I don't know who this is for, but the Lord has given me a visual, a reminder of how when you visit family members, mothers and fathers and loved ones, they'll always cook a certain meal and there'll be a certain smell, a certain sense memory that triggers that feeling of being home. And he's saying to you now, let the fragrance of the throne room be your sense memory that you're home. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for having access to the throne room. We thank you for your love. We pray for our family members lost and backslidden to find their way to you. We pray for the surgeries that are happening next week, for you to guide the doctor's hands, for you to be a shield about them, the glory and the lifter of their head, that you would watch over them during the anesthesia, that you would guide the anesthesiologist's hands and mechanisms and everything, Lord, that the enemy would have no place. We bind every enemy, every way, shape, and form from interfering with these events. We pray for quickening in the mortal bodies, that what is being fixed would be fixed, and it would be fixed even better and beyond anything that could be thought or imagined, and you would get the glory for it. Father, we thank you for your patience and your love for us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we thank you for looking over at your son and saying it's time. And Lord, we thank you that you're coming soon. We praise you for restoration in families, for salvations of husbands and wives and sons and daughters, and that you would inspire them to be found that they would find you while there's still time. Pray for restoration in friendships and relationships. Lord, let me remind those that know you that you are very clear that if healing needs to happen, if somebody has aught against them, if restoration must happen, then they must do that before they come to you and come to your altar, because you'll not receive their gifts if there's unforgiveness. So we pray that it would be so. We praise you for Calvary. We praise you that you are risen, that the tomb is empty. We praise you that you filled the upper room with your Holy Spirit, and you changed us, you changed the world, you gave us back spiritual authority that Adam had so casually given up. And it cost you your life to do it. And we thank you. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for healing and deliverance. We thank you for salvation. Holy Spirit, we thank you for reminding us of what he has done for us and reminding us of the Word and expanding and magnifying the Word so that we have wisdom and understanding and knowledge in him. We thank you for touching this time and this teaching. Let every word be guided. Let every need be met. And let there be understanding. Now, Father, we praise you. We bind the powers of darkness. We declare and decree they shall not interfere with what is done here. We clear our minds. We open our hearts. We prepare to receive. And if you agree, simply say, Amen. Boy, I long for the day of that sound when it cracks the sky and they hear it all over the world and the demons tremble and the fallen angels know that their time is almost over. I look forward to the day that the earthquakes happen and the whole world shakes because of the sound of the return of the king. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. Oh boy, I need a seatbelt because I'm getting ready to take off. So we've talked about knowing him. We've talked about being known by him. And some of you fulfilled your homework and did respond to it. So what now? What now? Well, the answer is in where this started. The answer is in John chapter 4 and the woman at the well. And let's just pick up the story. In verse 28, the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city. Now, let's just look at this. She came in the heat of the day at noon. She came because the other women were married and righteous, and she was not a part of that crowd. She was living with a man. She was rejected. So she came when they wouldn't be there. And she needs water because they'd get it every day by going to Jacob's well. But she leaves her water pot because she has just spoken to Messiah. She has just met Yeshua. She has just heard the words of life. And she runs into the city and says to the men. Now, picture this. She runs into the very city that's rejected her, and she goes to speak to the men, which she shouldn't be doing. I'm sure their wives got their little religious buns spinning. She said, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And then they went out to the city and came to him. In the meantime, the disciple urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So they began to talk to one another. Has anyone brought him anything to eat? Let's face it, these guys were handpicked, but they were dull. They were dull at times, but they learned. Then Yeshua said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." What work? What work, Lord? What work? The work that began in the garden after Adam and Eve fell and HaSatan did what he did and the redemption machine began. That's the work. Do you not say there are still 4 months, then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sow and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, others labored. And you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." And I read a commentary today, well, he didn't actually do that. That's what it says. So I think he did it. And either they didn't record it, or she only heard it in her mind. Somebody asked me recently, how do I know when the Lord says something? Because I hear his voice in my head. And I've been with him long enough to know that I know his voice and no other voice will I follow, and I hear it very clearly. So whether he spoke it out loud or spoke it into her, I don't know, but she heard it. She said it not once, but twice. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with him. They invited him to stay. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. And then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world." So the woman Wasn't sure, but now she is, and ran to the village and told everyone to come and see. Come and see. Without any fancy events, without any name tags or cards being signed, she became a disciple. The mark of discipleship was telling others, come and see. We look at John chapter 1, and Yeshua is on Galilee, and he finds Philip and says, follow me. And Philip is from Bethsaida, city of Andrew and Peter. So he finds Nathanael and says to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua. Praise you, Lord. Help me speak in English. Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Right there, verse 46 of chapter 1. Come and see. And Yeshua saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael says to him, how do you know me? And Yeshua answered and said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. He saw him in the spirit, of course. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Yeshua answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of heaven ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He is Jacob's ladder. He is the connection between heaven and earth. The mission fields are ripe and they're waiting for harvest. And the first invitation is to come meet him. Come meet him. We have found him. When I found him and he found me, I couldn't wait to tell people about the one who saved me and redeemed me and gave me back the family I discarded and forgave me my sins and healed me. Come and see. And in my time of studying and prayer and learning, I realized that that invitation to come is the heart's cry of God. Even under the old covenant. Come into a place of safety. Genesis 7:1, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. The rest of the world is perverse, debased, mingled with the seed of the fallen, and worthy of judgment, but he found eight who were worthy, and he said, come into a place of safety. In Isaiah 1:18, he says, come for personal cleansing. Come now, and let us reason together, says Adonai. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Also in the prophet Isaiah's chapter 55, come for a satisfying portion. Everyone who thirsts, come to the water, and you have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's because the price has been paid. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and for your wages what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Come for rest of soul in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The world can't give you rest. Another person, a mate, a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend can't give you rest. A better job, a better city can't give you rest. A better fellowship, a better place to worship can't give you rest. Only He can give you rest. And while you may be able to find Him in all those things, you can find Him where you are right now. Wherever you are, you can find Him. If you'll seek Him with all your heart, if you'll put down all the preconceived notions, put down all the religiosity and all the other things, and just open up and receive Him as you are. Two sections we're going to stay on, Matthew 22 and Luke 14. There was an invitation, an urgent invitation to come to a feast. Matthew 22, verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to come to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. And again he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted calf are killed, and things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. And when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, Jew and Gentile, in other words, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. When you've been invited to a wedding in those days, and if you were a guest but you didn't have the proper clothing, you were given a gown to cover what you had. Somehow this man snuck in. He wasn't supposed to be there. So two invitations went out. The first was sent long before the celebration so that the people would have plenty of time to prepare themselves for the banquet. So those that were invited, they had the original announcement. The second invitation was sent to them to announce the banquet was ready, the food was ready, everything's ready, the drink, the musicians, that they should come right away. But they made light of it. They didn't care about it. It was a joke. It wasn't important. They were so preoccupied with the here and now, they had no concern for the king's kingdom. Oh, yes, he was speaking to a Pharisee and the Sadducees and all of those of that day, but he's speaking to those that call themselves the church today. He's speaking to religious leaders and those that sit in pews and stand up in pulpits in the front of classrooms. Luke 14, we'll start with verse 16. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. I'm Italian. I've not kept a secret of that. I'm a New York Italian. Eating is a big thing. Family meals are a big thing. As my wife can tell you, the first time she came to my mother's house when we were dating for Thanksgiving, she learned quickly that meals are a big thing. And they spend a lot of time getting the food together, preparing the food, and you'll eat all day. And when somebody says food's ready, everybody knows, stop whatever you're doing. If you're playing cards, if you're talking, you're watching TV, you stop and you come because the food is ready. Fellowship is ready. The time to break bread and drink wine and eat pasta and cheese and the things that we would eat are ready. And there's a happiness about it. There's a joy about it. And it would be so insulting to have somebody say, well, I've got something else to do. You didn't do that in my family. When I was growing up, we spent Sundays at my grandmother's. And then once we got older and I had my own family, we spent Sunday at my mother's house. That's what you did. And it would be insulting to have somebody say, I've got something else to do. Doesn't matter, you made all this food for me. I'm not coming. That's what happens in this story. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. I ask that you have me excused. I don't know, how many pieces of property do you buy without seeing it? Bad, bad excuse. Another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask that you have me excused. Really? So you bought 5 yoke of oxen you have not seen, you have not tested them, you don't know if they're lame, sickly, or old. Yeah, good excuse. Another one said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So you don't have a couple hours? You are shackled? Nope, another lame excuse. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house became angry. Are we seeing a pattern here, folks? He's not happy when his invitation is rejected. And he said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come. Compel them to come, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Compel them to come. I mean, we've heard some lame excuses. Oh, I just bought a field and I must go inspect it. No, nobody buys property without seeing it, especially in that day. And you're gonna buy you bought some oxen, but now you got to go try them out. That's not real bright. And the whole wife thing. The only legitimate excuse in the Old Testament times to exempt you from anything because of marriage was military service in the first year of marriage. This is a feast. This is a local event. Not a distant war. And there was no legitimate reason, no reason that you could use that would not offend the master. He just didn't want to come. He had a right to be angry. He had been deliberately insulted by those he had invited. So who did he invite? The outcast of Israel, the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, the one whom the Lord said, in Luke 4:18, the signs of the Messiah he had come to heal. But you know, this isn't the first time we've heard excuses. Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:12, Eve blamed it on the serpent. Adam blamed it on the woman. Moses in Exodus 4, be given the commission of God, by God in the burning bush, to go back to Pharaoh, and he's got excuses. Well, what will I say? And I'm slow of speech. I stutter. Send my brother. And Aaron, whom God does send, makes the golden calf and then makes excuses about it in Exodus 32. Well, you know the people. They're set on evil. It's their fault that I did it because I was afraid of them. And then Gideon has the angel of the Lord speak to him, but he wants a couple of fleeces filled. He wants to know for sure that it's God. And Elisha and Naaman and Jeremiah. Then we have the governor Felix, who has been given and preached and taught the gospel by Paul, and at that moment should have confessed says, go away for now, so when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. One of the disciples that the Lord was trying to get to follow him in Matthew 8:20, well, let me first go and bury my father. Let the dead bury their own dead. Well, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell, for they're at my house. Well, no one having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's Luke 9, combining Luke 9 and Matthew 8. I've heard the excuses. I remember when Michael Jordan was at the peak of his career, somebody had shared the gospel with him. I think it was when his father died. And, well, I don't need Jesus right now. Maybe I'll need him later on. I don't know if he's changed that perspective. That was just arrogant of him to say. Proverbs 1:24, because I have called you and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. This is the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, speaking to the children of Israel. I called you and you refused. I stretched out my hand to you like a father to a child, and no one regarded it or paid attention. Micah 6:3, O my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me. Malachi 3:7, yet from the days of your father you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what ways shall we return? The arrogance of that, basically saying, well, we haven't done anything wrong, and how shall we return to you? What will it take to get the world, Jew and Gentile, of every nation and every religion? We know that the gospel will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. We know that there will be a time that's called the fullness of the Gentiles. What will it take to get those of us who know to compel them to come? The master invited them and they didn't want to come. He had killed and prepared and done everything necessary for them to come. Come to the wedding. Even the Lord, when he was entering Jerusalem for the final time in Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. In John 7, on the last day of the great feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Lord stood and cried out and said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Over and over and over, we're hearing the invitation to come. Even now we hear the invitation to come. And it seems like everybody's happier with religion. They're happier with the church business. Hey, you know what? I'd really like to go do the homeless thing. I'd like to go lay hands on people. But we're having a potluck in the fellowship hall. And it's vacation Bible school. And I'm playing Coco the Clown. What? Yeah, you're a clown. You're a religious clown. And the world's laughing at us. 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Messiah. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to God. We implore you on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled. We mentioned this one in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Remember what I said to you? This is not a book for the world. This is a book to the body, to Jews and Gentiles, believers? Why is he on the outside having a knock to come in? I mean, think about that. You're inside and he's outside and he wants to come in. Why is the door locked? Why is he on the outside? Because we're about everything but our Father's business. We're about everything but the banquet and the invitation to come. I could say the things I say which may offend you, and that's not my intention, but I don't care either. Because I was in it. I was caught up in the church. I was caught up in the hoo-ha. I was caught up in the denominationalism. I was caught up in thinking that this was good. And I look at it now and I just shake my head and I realize how many of you still don't get it. You're still playing church. You're still doing everything that you think is right and it's not. If it was right, why is the world worse off? The Book of Acts Church had a lot of problems. They had a lot of personality issues. They had a lot of things that were out of order, but they had one thing in order. They had an eye on the sky, an eye on the job, and they knew what the job was. It wasn't until generations later when man put his hands on the living entity of the church, of the body, and made it into what it is now. So the threefold invitation from Messiah to man is, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice, open the door, I will come in and I will dine with him. Again, that thing of intimacy. So the invitation is to hear, to open, and to be willing to dine with him, to be willing to sit with him. And this gets fulfilled every day by us for him. But I have to go back here. For some of you, he is outside knocking. Why don't you hear? Why don't you answer the door? And why won't you sit down and dine with him? That's the question. What are you afraid of? He already knows everything you thought, everything you did, and everything that you will do. If he's knocking and still wants to come in, that ought to say something. Revelation 3:21, which comes right after that, says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And he'll fulfill that when it's all done. I got to go back here. If I don't know why the Spirit keeps pulling me back to, he's knocking on your door. It's time to open the door. It's time to put aside all of your preconceived notions. It's time to put aside your childish hurts. It's time to put aside what you perceived, you thought he failed you, what he did or didn't do in your limited understanding of an infinite God, and accept the fact that he is Lord, he is Savior, and you need him. So, Father, for the one that this applies to, I pray that the door will be opened by them. You will not knock the door down. You'll not kick it in. You'll not even unlock it, though you're willing. You're perfectly able of walking through the door. We know you did it in the upper room. But you need them to invite you in. And I pray that everything that HaSatan and the fallen and their demonic offspring have done will be declared null and void right now in the name of Yeshua. Everything keeping that door shut would be removed, and that they would release the fear of rejection and let you in. And I pray that in Yeshua's name. Revelation 22, starting verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the A and the Z in the Hebrew, the A to Z. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the church. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Now, after that declaration, we get to verse 17, and there is a twofold response. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the waters of life freely. From Genesis to Revelation, it's an invitation to come. Adam and Eve were invited into the cool of the garden. They were invited into the perfection of the garden. They were invited into a place that I do not believe is in this reality, because he took them from where they were and placed them in the garden. And it's been all about getting back to that. Come. That's the invitation. You don't need any fancy calligraphy. You don't need to run to Office Depot or Kinko's. The invitation's right there. It just says, come. I read this great story. I want to share it with you. A layman visited a great city, great church in the city in Ohio. He was there on a business trip. Place is filled. Great music. People at the door, everything. After the service, he congratulated the minister on his service and his sermon. But, said the manufacturer, see, he owned a business. He said, if you were my salesman, I'd have to fire you. You see, you got my attention by your appearance, your voice, and your manner, your prayer, your reading, and your logical discourse aroused my interest. You warmed my heart with a desire for what you preached, and then you stopped without asking me to do something about it. In business, the important thing is to get people to sign on the dotted line to close the sale, and you failed. And that happens every Friday night in synagogues, every Saturday in churches that celebrate on Saturday, and every Sunday. I've sat in building after building after building where nobody got saved, where there was no altar call, where there was no opportunity for salvation. I've been to events, seminars, and things like that where I was the only one who gave an altar call. And then while that altar call happened, the other speakers and their wives left to go out to dinner and left me and with my associate Larry to do it all, because it wasn't a burning desire on their heart. It's really all it's about, folks, is the invitation to come. So how does the Spirit say come? It's real easy. We go back to John 16, starting verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Parakletos, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Well, let me ask you a question to the hundreds of you that listen. If there's no conviction where you sit in fellowship, if there's no preaching about sin, if there's no promotion of righteousness, if there's no talk about the judgment that's coming, explain to me then how you believe the Holy Spirit is there. Because according to John 16, verses 7 through 11, when he's there, these things happen. And if those things don't happen, logically that would tell me he's not there. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the creative power of Almighty God that emanates from Him, that was given to us in the upper room and is continually given to us today, brings the call of repentance and righteousness. Now the bride, the other half of those who say come, the ones who are married to Messiah and every generation who will live in New Jerusalem, the bride of the Lamb, excuse me, those who hear, those who are thirsty, those who will come, we do it through our lives. We do it through our witness. Sometimes we do it through our words. I saw there's a picture that's gone viral, and it's a story on the internet about this young black man who looked like he was on his way to school, and there was a homeless man sleeping on the street. Apparently, I know the position. He was out cold from drinking. And the young man just stopped and laid hands on him and began to pray. And somebody had taken a picture of it with a smartphone, and it went viral on the internet. And my response is, here's a young man who's living the gospel. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Those who hear, those who are thirsty, they will come. But they must be invited and they must be told. And we have been commissioned to go. Go into all the world, make disciples, make people like the woman at the well. And we don't do that with fancy programs and t-shirts. And yeah, I get it. You can come back at me as some have. Well, those things affected me. Well, that's great. You're about one in a million. We have a word given to us in which there are 4,000 scriptures where choose, will, in other words, expressing choice, are used because the Father does not force mankind to accept Him or do His will. Mankind's relationship with Him is on a voluntary basis. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a choice, and mankind's been given it. So there's no one who could say that anyone sent them to hell. They simply chose their destination. They bought their ticket. Oh, I know we were handed a ticket when we were born. But see, when I became born again, I cashed in that ticket, had it invalidated by the blood, and I got a new one. I want to spend eternity with my Lord. I'm going to spend eternity with my Father. I'm going to spend eternity with brothers and sisters and all those who love Him and know Him and are known by Him who have accepted the invitation to come. It's the freedom of action. It's a moral decision. It's a right and a choice because He is a reasonable and a loving Father. And that's why you need to invite people to come. To choose their destiny, to choose their destination. You see, if man were not a free moral agent, if we didn't have the freedom of choice, then God would be responsible for everything. He'd be responsible for all sin. He'd be responsible for the effect of sin. He'd be responsible for rebellion and sickness and the damnation of people and the demons and the angels. That's why all these people, well, if God were God and he were loving, why does he allow this? Because he has given us choice, the ability to choose to do right or to do wrong, to choose life or to choose death, to choose him or the fallen, to choose light or darkness. Revelation 19:9 says this, and this is Yeshua speaking to John. Write, it gives John a command to write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Are you called? Have you been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Have you accepted the invitation to come? Then you are blessed. Yeah, I know other parts of your life may not be where you want them to be, but you're blessed. Somebody asked me the other day, how you doing? And I just kind of casually said, well, I'm good. And I said, no, I'm blessed. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Person kind of looked at me. They obviously were not a believer. I don't care. I don't care. Revelation 22:20, and this is the complete Jewish Bible version. The one who is testifying to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Yeshua. See, that's the last invitation to come. Father, I come to you now. I boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy. I run because I love you, Dad, and I love to be in your presence. And I'm your son, I'm your child, and I love to crawl up in your lap. I love to jump up in your arms. I love to wrap my arms around your neck. Say, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Dad. And even when I mess up, even when I do the things I know are not my best or your best for me or don't please you, I know that when I say I'm sorry, you forgive me and then forget whatever it is I did. So I come to you now on behalf of your sons and your daughters who are listening. And I ask for you to stir up the invitation to come. I ask for you to stir up that desire for them like I described to run into the throne room. To stir up the desire in them when the time says the supper's ready, come to run. And to make sure that they're not running alone. To all of our brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters around the world that are being persecuted and slaughtered and their blood is being shed, I say, Father, have mercy. Let your will be done if it is to protect them or if it is to glorify yourself through them. But don't let them suffer as you've done with other martyrs. Lord, inspire us to say, come. Inspire us to have the invitation ready and to share it with others. Help us, for myself and my team and this ministry, give us the provision to go and to extend the invitation and to tell others and to beat back the wolves and to set the captives free and to help them have the freedom to answer the call to come. Father, reach everyone right now in the sound of my voice, but let them hear your voice. Let them feel your touch, Lord. Let them be cleansed by the blood. Let them be set free of their bondage. Let the chains around the doors of their heart melt. And let them throw open and say, Lord, come in. Thus, you won't be on the outside anymore. We love you, Dad. We love you, Lord. We love you and we thank you, Holy Spirit. And I give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.